When you're shopping on Amazon.com, you'd be pretty arrogant too, because you're getting the best deals on everything you need and helping support Rob as a podcast whenever you start your shopping with our link, robaswebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robaswebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisperino back here with Survivor Exit Interview for the week, week 8 here on Rob Has a Podcast. And today we're going to be talking to Nick Majorano, who was blindsided, really good blindside on this show last night. Another really fun episode for this season, and we're going to talk with Nick here today. Looking forward to that. He'll be with us in just a minute. Of course, last night had the Survivor Know-It-Alls with Stephen Fishback, who was on some pretty good meds last night, as he was telling us. And it was Know-It-Alls number 100, Stephen Fishback podcast number 100 as well. Thought it was a very fun show. Stephen and I disagreed a bit about who benefited the most from Sydney's move. He felt like it was Sydney herself. I felt like it was Michelle and Julia really were the beneficiaries of this move. If you want to hear that whole discussion, you could hear that on robiswebsite.com. Then great podcast coming up today. Chaos Cast is going to join me on the recap. Can't wait to hear what she has to say about all this. She's always really fun on the podcast. She has really good takes and isn't afraid to say anything about anybody. So we're going to have her on the podcast today. And then we'll get into your voicemails with my co-host of the Seinfeld Post Show Recap over on postshowrecaps.com, which we have just gotten to a milestone of recapping the 100th Seinfeld episode. That's coming up this weekend on Post Show Recaps. Akiva will be my guest on the voicemail podcast today. Get your voicemails in. Go to robaswebsite.com/voicemail or call us in 323-282-RHAP. Cutoff is about 6 p.m. Eastern time for the voicemails today. Of course, you won't miss any of the podcasts when you subscribe. Go to robaswebsite.com/iTunes or search RHAP in your favorite podcatcher. All right, it looks like we have Nick on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Nick, are you there?
No. Who is it? I don't want to talk to you.
You don't want to?
Not right now.
Okay.
Can we talk 6 weeks from now?
No. We can again if you want to.
Yeah, well, I'm already out, so I guess we have to talk.
All right, Nick. Anyway, I thought it was a fun ride. Sorry to see you go, but we got to get into all of this stuff. How are you doing? Are you doing okay?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, obviously, I'm bummed with the result, but it's been an enjoyable experience for me.
So going into the vote last night, did you have any idea that you would rub Sydney the wrong way so much? She seemed like she really got a good hate into you.
Yeah, well, obviously, when she went to go talk to Jason at the water well, like, I knew that. Like, I knew Jason had to go fix that issue with her. I knew she was perturbed by me for sure.
And so did you have any sort of inkling that she was plotting against you, or you thought she was just sort of generally annoyed with you?
No. So here's the thing. We got back from the immunity challenge, and as soon as we got back, Michelle had told me that I was the target. And as soon as she told me that, I didn't dig in deeper with her because I saw Scott and Jason walk into the water well. So sure enough, I go talk to those guys to try and figure out why I'm the target. And they told me the truth. They were like, nope, we're doing a split with the brain. We're getting one of the brains out, yada, yada, yada. So I thought I had corrected it. But I didn't know Michelle had meant, hey, it's Sydney and it's the brains who are coming after you.
So you thought that Jason and Scott were coming for you?
Yeah. And because she made some general statement like, Nick, I think they're coming for you tonight, or I think they're targeting you tonight. And unfortunately, Scott and Jason were walking to the water well exactly at that point, and I bolted away to go figure it out.
So when you went to Aubrey to tell her to put a vote on Debbie, did you feel like that was correcting the fact that they were coming after you?
Yeah. So I had known that I was a potential target, and I wanted more votes on Debbie than I did the one on Aubrey, because I wanted to work with Aubrey. So I was trying to scare her into voting for Aubrey, into voting out Debbie. And I went back into confessional after that talk with Aubrey. I was like cracking up. I was like, oh my God, what was I doing? She didn't respond that good whatsoever. And I knew it was the wrong approach, except I didn't pick up on the fact that it was the wrong approach because Aubrey knew that I was the target with Sydney.
Already by that point.
Why it was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was already by that point. They already had the conversation.
When you went to Aubrey, was that more of a pro-Aubrey move or was that more of an anti-Debbie move? Because it seemed like you really soured on Debbie from the point where you were talking about in the sixth episode about how you were going to listen to her, you were going to be the person that Debbie wants to be, which is herself. But it seemed like very shortly after that, you seemed like you really got tired of Debbie.
He was 100% pro-Aubrey and 100% anti-Debbie. It like worked out perfectly where I got to work with somebody I wanted to work with and get rid of somebody who I didn't want to work with. So Debbie was rubbing me the wrong way just because she was so public about, I don't want to say her affection, but her, whatever, her liking towards me. And like, that's going to ruin my game and that's going to ruin her game. So I can't work with somebody like that if you're so obvious out there in front of a group. So that's what always rubbed me the wrong way. I would love to work with Debbie, but she never made it private. Or as private as she should have, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. A lot was made over these last couple episodes about the relationship that you had with Michelle in the game after all of the...
I don't need to be carried, bro.
Yeah, I don't need to be carried, bro. So...
What now, about...
Well, it really went back and forth. And then it seemed like at times that it was a productive relationship. You also had Michelle saying like, hey, I don't want to vote out Nick. Bro, that he's in my alliance, but then ultimately Michelle and Julia do vote against you. So how was that relationship with Michelle? Was it closer than we saw in the TV show or not as close? Just I'd love to hear more about that.
It was definitely mixed because I started wrong with Michelle on the Beauty Tribe. She was the first person that was supposed to be voted out because Anna and Julia wanted her out the first 3 days.
The girls wanted Michelle out?
Yeah, so Julia approached me saying, like, hey, are you okay with getting Michelle out? And I was not okay with it because I had seen Michelle's audition video on YouTube before playing the game.
Wow.
And I unfortunately had this idea of who Michelle was, and I put these unreasonable expectations on Michelle. And that was my downfall because I didn't communicate effectively with her because of that. So I was like, oh, my God, the person I wanted to work with is the person who's on the outs right away. And so I'm going into protection mode, and eventually she worked her way into the Girls Alliance, so props to her for that. And then she didn't want to vote me out. She wanted to vote out Ty once Caleb was gone. But and then at Brains, she was the person who was on the outs again. And I was like, oh my God, this person who I tied myself to is still on the outs wherever I go. And so that was really frustrating for me, and I took that out on Michelle. And that's so wrong to do from a personal standpoint and from a strategy standpoint. Like, I just didn't communicate with her effectively because I put these unreasonable expectations on her. That's my fault.
How do you communicate with her now?
We get along. We're laughing about it. We're enjoying it.
Okay.
We're friendly. What are you trying to add? Are you trying to add some day and go on? Keep going.
If you want to talk about that, that's fine too.
No, this is not a love podcast, Rob. Let's keep going.
All right. Was there any talk about the Beauty Tribe getting back together, say at like final seven? Because you had the 7-person alliance, but you guys outnumbered the Brawn. Was there any sort of talk about the Beauty Four being a group back together, or was that sort of DOA?
The big problem was Ty couldn't have conversations with Julie and Michelle and vice versa. They could never really connect on a conversation level. I had always been trying to be that connecting piece, but I couldn't be it. But Michelle and I, when Neil went out under that tree, we had talked about a series of votes coming up and who we were going to blindside. And one of them was Sydney coming up like at the 9 spot. And unfortunately, we didn't get to stick to that plan because we didn't go to tribal. We didn't set the alliances in the line and sand. And it came back to bite us because her and I, that was my thought. Let's play in the middle because the Brawn are never going to work with the Brains, just never based on their personalities. Unfortunately, Michelle and Julia kind of went with Sydney and the Brains, and that's what did me in.
How come you were never able to get a close relationship going with Ty based on what we saw on the TV show? It seemed like, oh, Ty, he loves Beast Mode Cowboy. He loves Scott. How come we never saw any, I don't even remember him even mentioning you or talking about you in any of his confessionals. Why wasn't there anything going on from what we saw with you and Ty?
Yeah, I just think it's just a real estate issue of not being able to get the content on the screen because we got along, we laughed, and we were able to communicate a lot because Anna had wanted myself, Julia, and Ty to be in a 4-person alliance. And so Ty was close with Anna, and then Ty was close to me from a strategy standpoint. On the surface level, he was good with Caleb and the two other girls, Julie and Michelle, he couldn't connect with. So Ty and I would go looking for idols together. Ty and I, and that's why I wasn't mad at him when he was looking for an idol by himself, because it's like, okay, I don't mind. We were just looking before. So I got along with Ty. I like Ty. And we talked strategy and talked about the dynamics of the group a lot. They just didn't show them.
What was with Ty voting for Jason last night? Do you have any idea of why he ends up voting completely? I mean, you didn't know why anybody was voting for you at that point, I guess. But did you have any sense of why Ty was voting with Jason? Was there any sort of falling out between them?
Well, no. So as soon as we got back from the challenge, Sydney had pitched to the Brains, okay, let's vote out Nick. And they kind of locked into that. And then Julie and Michelle started having second guesses about it. So they wanted to vote out Jason. So they pitch it to Sydney. They pitch it to the Brains. And Ty is in on that conversation. And sure enough, they're debating it. And then Debbie goes, no, we can't vote out Jason because Joe is already locked in and he's not going to remember to vote for the right person. So they decided against that. So I guess Ty just didn't get that last piece of information. Hey, we're sticking with Nick. We're not voting out Jason. So that was the issue for Ty.
Wait, what do you mean Joe wasn't going to remember to vote for the right person?
So that was Debbie's reasoning. Because, like, oh, Joe is so old, or whatever. And obviously, you know, that's not the reason I went home, so let's not paint him as that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was Debbie's way of putting it. Maybe she just really wanted to get me out because she was pissed at me, but that's how it was framed based on what I know. So it could have been Jason easily.
So I really enjoyed the Ponderosa video this week and getting to watch you and Neil interact. And in those conversations that you were having with Neil at Ponderosa, you guys disagreed about how things would have gone down at that first vote after the merge if Neil hadn't been medevaced. From your perspective, how would that vote have gone?
Okay, so Neil's thinking, we were going to vote 4 on Aubrey, the beauty, 3 on Neil from LeBron, and then when we were going to have a revote, then we were going to vote out Neil. So I don't know exactly how they cut my confessionals and whatnot to say, like, Aubrey was on the bottom. But and I might have said those things early on. But, yeah, Neil would have been voted out on the revote if he didn't play the idol for himself.
Okay. We had at the tribal council last night, Ty had this talking about the super idol and then tried to walk it back of like, oh, I don't know. Maybe people are lying to me about the super idol. Julia clearly didn't know about it. How much was that being spoken about, the powers of the idol, if two of the idols came together and in a way that Julia had no idea about it? Did you know about it?
Yeah, I think when I approached Neil and he was still in the game, I asked him about like what was the bulge in his pocket. He had told me he had an idol. He'd show me an idol. And I believe he had told me the rules then. I'm not positive on that, though. But, yeah, no, nobody else knew anything about the idols. I didn't tell anybody about what Scott told me. I didn't tell anybody about what Neil had told me. So Julia was surprised, and that was a big blunder from Ty. Huge. He had a meltdown this episode, and hopefully he bounces back from it.
And so for Julia, was she intentionally kept out of the loop on this stuff? Did Michelle know about any of this?
No, I refused to tell Michelle because I had overshared with Michelle early on at Beauty, like telling her that she was on the outs, and I figured that backfired on me because that's when the Girls Alliance started. So no, I didn't share anything. And so they didn't know. They had no idea about any of the idols.
You seem like you were tightly aligned with Jason and Scott, but you also talked about how, well, okay, they also seem like they're overconfident. What was your reasoning about getting aligned so tightly with them, and how far did you plan on working with them?
So the plan was to blindside them by voting up Sydney at 9 with the help of Michelle and Julia and the Brains, whoever was left. But I wanted to work with them because they couldn't work with the Brains and vice versa. And then that was the reason for it, at least initially, and then keep bouncing back. I like those guys, but they're obnoxious when they're together. Not in a bad way, just they're just rowdy. So yeah, so I wanted to blindside them at 9. They wanted to blindside me at 8. So they were going to take me out before the strong 7 that we talked about. So whoever could punch first was going to do it. But unfortunately, Sydney took it into her own hands to do it.
Steven and I debated this a lot last night. We felt like, who was this a better move for? I felt like I didn't love the move for Sydney as much as I liked it for some of the other people that were involved. But so you're saying that you wanted to blindside Sydney at the next vote. Is it possible that did she catch wind of this at all?
No, she didn't catch wind of it because that was just between Michelle and I. But I think she should have made the move, the vote, that the one that I was going to make the move. So next episode, I think she just got a little over emotional or over anxious to do this. And who knows what would have happened if we would have been able to vote out Sydney. But that was the plan once when Neil was in the game, Michelle. So I think who had benefited the most at this point, Debbie, Joe, and Aubrey. As far as I'm concerned, they're in the driver's seat at this point. Things can change, though. The media can be won. New relationships can be made.
All right. A lot was made about your arrogance in the game. Nick is arrogant. You even said to Aubrey, like, you know, I just can't believe how arrogant I'm being. Do you feel like that? Did that really cost you, or was it stuff that you just felt like was being fun for TV? How much of this is the real Nick?
Well, no, that's definitely a part of my personality where I'll be arrogant. But to me, it's in a fun way. It's in a laughable way. That's just me opening up that portion of my brain for the show. But yeah, in real life, I'm obviously a humble guy or a nice guy or whatever you want to call it. But for a joke, for a laugh, yeah, that's how I behave. So without context, I can see why it's grating to people. And obviously, you understand it because you've talked to me a couple of times. So I'm appreciative of that, giving that side of it. But it's also understandable why people wouldn't like that if they don't know you.
Nick, I do hope that we can catch up some more in the future. Anytime you want to come up this way and you know, talk about an episode or anything like that, you've got an open invitation. All the best, and I look forward to seeing you at the finale, okay?
I'll be taking it, and thank you, Rob. Can't wait to see you.
All right, take care, buddy. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Nick Majorano here on the podcast. Fun exit interview. I thought Nick was a fun character on the show. I do think that his arrogance made him one of those fun to hate type characters for a lot of people. And I think that his presence definitely added a lot to Survivor Ko Rong, and sad to see him go. All right, everybody, let's get into our weekly segment here on the Survivor exit interview. A man who has gone through all of the annals of Survivor history books to talk about what goes on every single week in Survivor history. Welcome back, Jordan Kalish, with This Week in Survivor History.
This Week in Survivor. This Week in Survivor History. This Week in Survivor. This Week in Survivor History. This
yes. Survivor. Jordan, are you there?
I'm here, Rob. How are you?
Wow. What an intro. What an intro for This Week in Survivor History.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, I was sitting at my computer the other day, and I got a direct message on Twitter from Lisi Linares, and she was like, you know, Josh Wiggler is on RHAP, and he's getting all these song submissions from Survivor. I've been listening to This Week in Survivor History for a long time. I've been wanting to write this song for you for a while. So it was a great surprise, and thank you to Lisi. And I think she collaborated with Aaron Robertson on that one.
Yeah, well, you do seem like exactly the kind of guy that maybe Lisi Linares might be looking for.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So perfect. Anyway, very excited to have you back. How's everything going? Good?
Everything's great. Going to Run It Up Reno next month. I made it official yesterday. So whoa. I'm very excited about that.
Whoa, this is huge news. This is huge news. So if people want to come out to Run It Up Reno and potentially take Jordan Kalish's money, there you go. Go to runitupreno.com.
It's been a while since I've actually played poker. So if I do any of these poker tournaments, there's a good chance he'll be taking my money.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just go ahead and thank our sponsor for This Week in Survivor History. And Jordan, you are going to love this. This Week in Survivor History is sponsored by a great tool that I've just added to my collection, the AeroCart. Jordan, wait till you hear about this, because AeroCart, it's the 8-in-1 all-purpose carrier from Works. This isn't just a wheelbarrow. This is the 8-in-1 tool that you've been waiting for.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing.
It's like having a wheelbarrow, a trailer mover, and a dolly, and not a dolly nearly all in one. No, it's amazing. I have this at my house. It's in my garage. I put it together, and I can do all sorts of projects around the house now.
So if you're like a stick of bamboo and you've been standing on a post
for hours. I'm the redwood now.
Oh, you're the redwood. So, okay. So you won't hurt your back using this then.
And whether I had redwood or bamboo, I could be moving these around all over the place. I'm going to start doing some videos and show you guys some of these projects I'm working on with my wheelbarrow. It's got patented turbo lift technology, which makes lifting 200 pounds feel like you're lifting just 17, which is very important because I am very weak. I am not a strong man.
You're not in the brawn tribe?
I am not on the brawn tribe, yes. But I am using my brains, and I've got the 8-in-1 aero cart. I'm moving a refrigerator just like that. Move it all, lift it all, haul it all, know it all. See the new Works Arrow Cart in action at Works.com. Go to arrowcart.com, enter the promo code RHAP at checkout to receive free shipping, which is nice because it's heavy. That's arrowcart.com, AeroCart.com, and get free shipping at checkout, arrowcart.com. Jordan, all right, what are we loading up in the wheelbarrow today to move around through Survivor history?
All right, in the wheelbarrow, we're going to go to a season that is very near and dear to your heart. We're going to Survivor the Amazon, and this is the episode from April 3rd, 2003, which is 13 years ago this past Sunday.
Okay, what did I do back then? I'm assuming it's me. What did somebody do in the Amazon?
Well, it is you. You actually, according to the Survivor Wiki, had the most confessionals in this episode. But this is the episode where we get to see how creepy Matt Von Erdvelde is.
Yeah, I mean, he's not really creepy, you know.
Well, according to Christy, he was creepy.
A little bit. Yes. I mean, it was weird that he kept sharpening the knife. That was a little freaked us out.
You had a great confessional there where you're saying, why does he need the machete so sharp? I think he's trying to kill us.
Yeah, I mean, it was possible. That was certainly was a possibility. Which episode number was this? What is this? The chain?
This is actually before the chain. So this is actually an episode. Yeah, this is the Dave Johnson boot, and I think it's an episode that sort of gets lost in the shuffle of the Amazon post-merge, because you have the great Roger Sexton vote out the week before, and then you have the whole Dina vote out the next week, which really changes the power dynamic in the game. But this is a really entertaining episode, too, and what I really wanted to bring up in this episode, so they, of course, Matt gets this crazy edit where they're sort of comes off like a serial killer, and he's getting the music, and Christy calls him creepy. So what was it actually like out there living with Matt during this couple of days?
I mean, nobody was really talking to him that much at this point in time. I was probably the only person. He'd go fish with Butch, and then none of the other people really talked to him. Like, Dina didn't talk to him. Christy really wasn't talking to him. Jenna, Heidi, Alex, they weren't talking with him. So it was just sort of like I would talk with him once in a while. But he would, like, just do stuff on his own. He would just be, like, self-sufficient. And, like, he had, like, the scene, I think it's in the episode, where he's just, like, cutting up his shoes one day. And he's like, I'm going to MacGyver my shoes into sandals. I was like, okay, well, that's really crazy to do on Survivor, to turn your sneakers into sandals. But, you know, he was sort of just, you know, he wasn't really super interested in just like talking a lot of game or stuff like that. And also, he wasn't like, you know, talking about like, you know, different things that you would, you know, talk about the past, the time. Like, he didn't, like, he's sort of like does, you know, just like either work stuff or adventure stuff. Like, he's not really somebody that, like, he's, you know, a big conversationalist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, I guess, sort of how he came off in the episode. You know, with the magic of editing, I'm sure they made him a lot stranger than he actually was. But I mean, this went with your whole strategy of, you know, of being with the bottom feeders and kind of picking up these people along the way that no one wanted to work with.
Yeah, Mateo is a nice guy, but it's just, you know, that he, you know, hung out by himself a lot of times doing weird sort of, you know, projects and things of that nature. And he did spend a lot of time getting that machete very, very sharp to do things like cut up his sneakers.
Did he ever use it? So was this part of the issue where the machete was so sharp and that's how you guys were able to get so much firewood, which burned the camp down?
We all had our own machete. That Survivor of the Amazon is a very unique season where typically there's only one machete in the camp. We each had our own machete because we were living in the jungle.
That was the big twist along with Battle of the Sexes.
That was one of the big twists where Mark Burnett, before we started to play the game, was like, you're all going to get your own machete.
And you said your mom would never let you play with those.
I did. And you know what? Really, no mom should be letting her kids play with machetes, really.
I completely agree.
I mean, it's not a toy.
No, it's not. It's not a toy. And we saw that in this episode. It can really scare people.
You know, I have two kids now. And if they ever said to me, Dad, can we get a machete? The answer is no. No machetes.
I don't have any kids, but I would assume that would be my answer as well. I teach, and I wouldn't want any of my students to have machetes.
I don't want my wife to have a machete.
I don't want to be a machete.
The number of people who need a machete is actually an incredibly small number.
Yeah, maybe Tata the Bushman should have a machete. He's someone,
sure.
Yeah,
sure. Who, he can have one.
Maybe Matt, you know, he, even though he did spend too much time sharpening it, he never injured anybody, right?
I don't think he ever injured anybody with the machete.
All right, so I guess he could have one.
I guess so. But I mean, the number of people who actually need a machete is actually a very small number.
Yep. It is. But talking about people getting cut, Dave is the one who gets cut from the game in an 8-1 vote. He votes actually for Matt, and he goes on a reward with Dino where he's trying to lobby her to swing the power
for ice cream.
Yeah. Well, oh, that's true. Big callback from
the
this
de facto
week.
Episode 8 reward. I guess is always ice cream.
Yeah, it's like episode 1 with fire, episode 2 with fishing gear, episode 8 with ice cream.
Bang-a-ring.
Yeah. Was there any chance of anyone besides Dave going home? Could he have said anything to you guys that would have changed your mind?
I don't think so. I mean, it's sort of like that's the one episode after the merge. I think that's kind of a predictable boot. You know, everything else is pretty interesting all along the way. I think that Dave, there was not much that he could have done. And I think he completely like played that backwards in terms of what he was going to try to do.
Mm, yeah, I guess going after Matt, is there any other name he could have thrown out there that maybe he could have gotten people to vote out?
I mean, it was really hard for Dave because I think we all looked at him as sort of like a big threat to be able to win the game. So I think that probably, you know, I think he was like talking to the wrong people.
And in his final words, so he has his Nepalese saying, "Ke garne ne parne."
Ke garne ne garne.
Yeah, and apparently, so when I Googled this, so ke garne, which is the first part of the saying, is supposedly Nepalese. The second part, the only place on the internet I could find this is his Survivor wiki page.
He
so
might
I think
have
he
made
sort
it
of
up.
Got it wrong. Yeah, I think the first part is real. There are Nepalese restaurants called Ke garne, and it is a phrase there.
What does it
and
mean?
I think it was like something about like what to do or like what's next.
I think it means
something
Red
like
Robin.
Red Robin. I think it means redwood tree.
So, redwood tree, bamboo tree. Bambuya. Yeah.
Yeah, Dave Johnson, interesting character on the show, and like I said before, sort of gets lost in the shuffle with that post-merge, which is really one of my favorites in Survivor history. This is an episode that we hadn't spoken about before. We have touched on the whole Dina and the whole Roger boots and even the Alex boot. So this is one that I would say is more of an episode for its character building of Matt and then some of the fun stuff with you and then Dave and Dina going on that reward. So it's an episode that I really like, and I'm happy we got to talk about it tonight.
Okay, cool. Anything else going on this week in Survivor history?
Yeah, what's next, Kay Garnet? We're going to go to Heroes versus Villains. This is April 8th, 2010, 6 years ago this Thursday. And usually once we get into the merge of these seasons, I don't like to go back and talk about pre-merge episodes, but this is an exception because this is a really fun episode of Heroes versus Villains. This is the Dragon Slayer boot where Coach gets blindsided by the villains.
Yes, particularly Sandra maybe makes some of her best moves of the entire game here.
Absolutely. And I think people may forget about it because it was pre-merge. But if Sandra doesn't make this move here, so they actually lose the last four immunity challenges before the merge. And if Sandra doesn't make this move here to get Coach out, it could be Courtney and then her going home next. So if she doesn't do that, she might not even win this season.
It's a good episode for Sandra. Absolutely. Nice showcase.
It is. She plants a Sandra seed. She actually said she put a bug in his ear, which I think is maybe what somebody
foreshadowing
did to Jennifer Lanzetti.
12 seasons later, it would actually happen to somebody.
Uh-huh. And this is really an example of Sandra completely running circles around Russell. And I'm a guy, I don't hate Russell Hans. I liked him in Samoa. I don't think he's a terrible player, even though he makes a lot of, you know, terrible mistakes. But this, to me, is maybe Russell's worst strategic episode ever. He has a lot of really bad social episodes where he completely alienates two different juries. But this is an episode. It doesn't make any sense for him to get rid of Coach here. When he has Sandra and Courtney, who both hate him, he has Coach, who, while he didn't vote with him on the previous vote, he just didn't vote against him. There's no way. Coach wants to work with Russell, at least going into the merge. There's no way that you know, Courtney and Sandra are ever going to have Russell's back in the game.
Well, you better watch out Jordan Kalish, that if Russell listens to this, he's going to be pissed at you.
Yeah, and the chances of that, I would say, are maybe the chances of them instilling Redemption Island in Survivor Ko Rong and bringing back Neil and Nick.
All right, well, Jordan, great stuff as usual. Follow Jordan on Twitter. He's at Jordan Kalish. He will be in New York. Well, he's in New York all the time, but he will be at the Live Know-It-Alls coming up next week.
Of course, and again, thank you to Lisi Linares for that beautiful song.
Yes. Okay. Great job, Lisi, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Yep. Have a good night.
Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. This week in Survivor history with Jordan Kalish. So a fun exit interview all the way around here today. Looking forward to getting into it with Chaos Cast. That's coming up later today. And don't forget those voicemails. Go to robinswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282. RHAP. It's one of the great joys I get doing this podcast is hearing from you guys. You guys always have, well, most of you have very funny things to say and really good takes and opens up all sorts of different conversations. So the voicemail show depends on you. So get those calls in and we will answer them with Akiva Winokur later on tonight. And you'll have that podcast on Friday morning as well. All right. So that's going to do it for us. Have a good one, everybody. Looking forward to hearing your comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.